You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
These guys survived the David Kahn era of Timberwolves basketball and live to tell about it. It's Flagrant Howls.
Welcome in. We got the OG Wolves guy here with his 1989 inaugural notebook.
And trash
sports
can.
Sports dad, Judd. And trash can.
And I've got a Wolves trash can from the first year. Still got it right by me here.
Dex was at that debacle the other night against the Pelicans. Yeah, what was the vibe like in that arena? That was the first time. That's only the second home loss. It's like the first real home ass kicking, right? Well, the Kings, I guess, hit 14 threes.
It was weird because I've been to two games this year, the first one being that epic, awesome Celtics game, which in my opinion was like one of the best Wolves games, if not the best Wolves game I have ever seen in person. Like, that was a blast. And then the Pelicans game, I mean, they made everything. Like, up until garbage time, and we left with like 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Wow. No faith.
I think the Pelicans were shooting like 60% from the floor and like 48% from three, like. And to be honest, the game was actually a lot closer and going into halftime, and there was a huge discrepancy of shots being made by the Pels versus the Wolves. But the vibe, they cleared out by the fourth quarter. They were like, peace, we're out of here.
It's the first like real dud, and we're sitting here. This is why you, by the way, this is why you come out of the gate and you stack up wins early, because you know you're going to go through some sort of lull, whether it's holidays or December, January. And so they've at least given themselves a little leeway to go through a rough stretch and correct it without tumbling out of the standings, right?
Amen. By the way, before we start, shout out Ricky Rubio bobblehead. Ricky, congratulations.
Ricky, man. Ricky.
Congratulations. I hope you're okay. I hope your mental health improves or is improving or has improved.
Well,
but that was, there was a lot of dark days. A lot of dark days, and he actually created a spurt of fun when he finally did arrive. So shout out, Ricky.
Yeah, Ricky was, man, had the, in terms of what ifs in franchise history.
Yep, he's up there.
They had a couple. He is, and then a couple of those teams are too. The lockout shortened season where they're going toe to toe with Kobe, and Target Center's packed. And they had that year where I think their net point differential was like fifth or sixth best in the West, but they still wound up blowing all these 20-point leads and losing all these close games. They wind up outside the playoffs. But, God, if they could have just had healthy Kevin Love, healthy Ricky Rubio, Nikola Pekovic had the foot issues, and they had some good, fun teams. But, yeah, hopefully Ricky can find some peace. I know there's been a debate about whether the Wolves, I think like Dane threw it out there just for fun. Like, hey, if you want to get that crowd rocking before a playoff game, retire Kevin Garnett's jersey one game and then Ricky Rubio's. No. And it kind of turned into a debate. They're definitely going to retire Kevin Garnett's jersey. I don't know that Ricky Rubio, he was a beloved player, but I don't know that you can retire his jersey.
He's the reason why the Wild and Wolves should both have halls of fame.
Yeah, like a ring of howl or something.
Yeah, you know? Right. But why don't you? Like, that wouldn't that make a ton of sense? Like, there's no way that Rubio's number belongs in the rafters. But I could totally see him being in a, as you just said, ring of howl.
In fact, actually, this is, I was going to start with it. We'll get to the Barkley stuff here. But if there was a ring of howl or whatever we call it, because right now the only things hanging in the rafters are just sadly deceased former members of the organization, Flip Saunders and then Malik Sealy, right?
Yeah.
So KG is going to be a legitimate on merit retired jersey.
100%.
If you had that ring of honor, that ring of howl, what players would rise to that level, but obviously like not quite. I think Ricky, I would say Kevin Love. I would say Wally Szczerbiak.
Mm.
I would put Sam Cassell in just for the big balls dance playoff run.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of other guys. Poo Richardson, maybe throw him in there.
I would need to take a closer look, but I do think it would be very fitting without doing what the Wild did, in my opinion, which was forcing Koivu's, Koivu is a Ring of Honor Wild guy. Easy, right? But I mean, like Garnett,
he holds some Wild records, doesn't he?
Sure he does. But I mean, think about Garnett. Okay. Like Garnett, like that's a number that's just absolutely positively belongs. And unfortunately it's not there because of his relationship with Glenn, but it belongs in the rafters.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean there's not guys in both franchises who deserve to be recognized.
Yeah. Did you guys see too that it's funny how God star players leave their first organization and things get weird. And then like the Magic are retiring Shaq's number.
Yeah, I saw that.
I didn't know that hadn't happened yet. Like Shaq's one of the, I mean, if you ranked Magic players, right, the Magic came in at the same time as Well, wait a second, though. I mean, Shaq led them to the finals.
Oh, no. I know that's the same draft, right?
Yes.
Oh, I'm just joking about the draft.
No, I know you are. But like Christian Laettner was a dud.
Yeah. And Shaq deserves
Shaq was the greatest player in Magic history.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Penny Hardaway is.
I'm just saying, unfortunately, the Wolves in Wolves fashion got Christian in the same draft that because the Magic won that. But yes, Shaq deserves it. Shaq was a fantastic player there.
Yeah, but it took him like 30 years to mend the fences and patch the bridge there.
Well, I can see that.
Speaking of Shaq, his coworker on Inside the NBA. So we're going to turn this into a Feedback Friday edition of Flagrant Howls here. Charles Barkley, I'm going to paraphrase. He said on Inside the NBA last night, and he was asked a few weeks ago, you know, because he's been clowning the Timberwolves, you know, going back to last year. Wow, that was the stupidest trade I ever seen. Why would you put 2 7-footers out there, right? And then they followed up like a few weeks ago and he said, wow, yeah, this team's awesome. Anthony Edwards is great. So now that the Wolves have lost 2 in a row, Charles Barkley says on Inside the NBA last night, he doesn't believe in the Timberwolves anymore. And they asked him why. He's like, they lost 2 games in a row.
Yep.
So what do you think about Charles Barkley flip-flopping here on the Timberwolves?
I love Charles Barkley. Okay. I love him. He's one of the most talented people to ever grace a studio show. He might be the best of all time, but he is purely an entertainer. And so I think, I mean, if you don't see the ridiculousness of the hilarity of Barkley saying, I'm out on them, they've lost 2 consecutive games.
Yeah.
Then I can't, nothing he says for the most part, aside from the occasional time where he has a really strong take. And it's ordinarily not just about teams. It's like about the league itself and things, but so much of what he says is just for show or it's funny. So like in this case, I think nothing of this beyond the fact that it's another funny Barkley thing where after 2 games, he's like, well, now I'm done with them. They've lost 2 games consecutively.
And this is what I was talking about when they were obviously off to the really hot start. And some people have given them their flowers. Bill Simmons of the Ringer has given them their flowers, the Wolves, mm-hmm. that is, and rightfully so. But no one nationally is going to take this team seriously, no matter if they're the 1 seed or the 4 seed, until they do something in the playoffs, because they're not used to being the Wolves being here. No one's going to take them seriously. And it stinks. I mean, I know Minnesotans want to see them get their flowers from everyone, But just the way the media landscape is set up, no one is going to take the Wolves seriously, unfortunately, until they make noise in the playoffs.
And my stance on this, you know, the national buzz conversation, flip-flop, whatever it is, remains the same. They need to go earn it. I'm not going to be offended if, you know, you flip on these, you know, NBA countdown, whatever, inside the NBA. They didn't talk about that. They're on for an hour and didn't talk about the Timberwolves. And the Timberwolves remain, they're clinging by a half game, but they remain the number one team in the Western Conference.
Sure.
They've built up 35 years of punchlines. And I think we're all self-aware. This is the beauty of Wolves fans. Wolves fans are the most self-aware fans. The Wolves fans are Eminem at the end of 8 Mile, man. Here, tell me something they don't know about me and toss the mic back to Charles Barkley. It's like, we know, we get it. We've been the punching bag and the laughing stock of the NBA for decades and decades. So yeah, like I'm fine with them. Just if people want to doubt them or whatever, like they need to prove it by continuing to win. You don't win anything when you're 24-9 at the, you know, 30% mark of the season. So I'm not offended by this.
I also think that it would be great fun if the Wolves start to make a playoff run, because I think part of what Barkley is scared of now is
he's got to hang out in Minnesota.
Yes. Yes. And you know, Charles, Minnesota ain't no fun. It would be. Now, people from here will probably not take it well, but I would love to see if the Wolves like make the Western Conference Finals, I would love to see the trepidation that Charles shows in. You might have to.
And they're doing their show from First Avenue outside, because they do it from outside the venues, right?
He would not be happy.
Oh, man.
It's funny. He hit some golf courses here. He likes to golf. He'd hit some golf courses. Yeah. He'd be able to golf a little bit.
Yeah, no. He still wouldn't want to be here. There's so many places Charles wants to go, I think.
Do you guys remember when the Bucks were in the NBA Finals? And I think it was the ESPN crew. It was like First Take with Molly and Kellerman and Stephen A. And they were just bitching about Milwaukee and how, yes. God, why couldn't the Heat have won?
Yes.
Come on, guys. Okay. Mike T says, do you guys feel the way that I do? And he brings a Karl-Anthony Towns quote from the Athletic here. Johnny K talked to Kat after the Pelicans loss. And Kat said, sustained success kind of gets boring. It gets monotonous. We've got to be okay with being bored. We've got to be okay going out there and doing the same thing every night, regardless of if we want to get cute and show more of our talent. And Mike T continues on and says, someone in that circle needs to say, no, Carl, what's boring is watching the same crap we've seen for years. Hero ball, crying about fouls, lack of offensive flow, bad decision-making, turnovers. You, Carl, bullying your way into three guys while two of your teammates are open for shots. This quote drives me nuts. Because you haven't... There is no sustained success yet, guys. Carl, Rudy, Ant, 24-9, 33 games is not sustained success. We just got to January, for God's sakes. You haven't sustained anything yet. You're bored? Why are you bored?
Carl, just quit while you're ahead, dude. I feel like sometimes he tries to give these quotes that he thinks sound really, like, astute, right? And, yeah, I just don't. I think I know what he might be trying to say, but then I'm going to agree with you completely and say, the use of the word sustained is incorrect. It's not sustained yet.
No.
But I think what he's trying to say is we know we're good and we have to continue to challenge ourselves, but he doesn't say it right. And so I completely agree. It comes off like, what are you talking about?
But like the Warriors are okay. You guys have the right to be a little bored in December in the NBA, right? The 1998 Chicago Bulls. All right. You guys want to be a little bit.
Well, you know, why can't he just say, we're a good team, and we really know that we need to stay sharp, focus on, you know, like, why use bored?
And I think, well, just to deconstruct this, the way he says it to me, and again, I wasn't in the room, so I'm sure Johnny K could provide some context if there is more, but when he says sustained success kind of gets boring, it gets monotonous, he's speaking as if he has experience with sustained success.
Yeah, you're right.
He doesn't. Unless you want to consider barely making the playoffs the last 2 years. It sucks because, like, on one hand, I've spent the last four shows trying to calm people down. Like, guys, they're going through a weird stretch. Everything's fine. They're still in first place. And I still believe that. They're just going through a weird stretch. They're definitely a player short, and they will have to make a trade at some point. But it's hilarious to me that the only players on this team that could maybe say they have experience with sustained success regular season success are Mike Conley and Rudy Gobert. But even those guys, they don't have like sustained champion. They didn't play in the NBA finals. So nobody on this team, nobody in this organization should be talking about how sustained success gets monotonous. Let's calm down.
I agree completely. I agree completely. And if I was Carl's PR person, I would have quit 2 years ago. So
maybe you can jump in and take that. Take that.
No.
Update your LinkedIn profile.
No, because I would tell him, you know what, Carl, the less you say, the better.
This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation. Let's see here. What's That Beats says on YouTube, does this team know that Carl might get traded soon and that's why the vibes are off? Does this explain why Ant seems to be more aggressive so he can continue doing it when Kat is out? So this is a conspiracy theory here. Did they tell Ant behind the scenes that, hey, you've got the keys and the ultimate green light? I don't know. It's a little reckless speculation. I don't think they're trading Kat in season. I think that's a luxury tax decision for like July of next year.
Yeah, in fact, I just saw a report, was it from Shams a couple of days ago, about the fact that the Knicks are continually sniffing around Kat, but like, there's no way that he's going to be traded now during the season. So I mean, don't get me wrong. Sports Dad loves a good conspiracy. So I love this.
Yeah.
But there is no intelligence whatsoever. And I mean, they ain't going to trade him during the season. Like, well,
also, their biggest problem right now is they don't have enough offense. They only have two guys that can like create offense right now. It's Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns. So I think the move, and Kyle and I talked about this yesterday, the move that would be made is taking a Kyle Anderson, who's more of a defensive playmaking, and he's passing up. He can't shoot threes this year. I don't know if it's the eye or what. But you'd be looking to add offense to this team, not reduce offense, unless there was some creative way to trade Kat and get more offense back. I don't know what that would look like, but yeah, that conversation to me is parked until the league year starts in July, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
Joe X222 says the Wolves, in my mind, needed to win a playoff game last year, or a playoff series last year, and they didn't. This year, it's NBA Finals or I'm not happy. So Kyle and I talked about this a little bit yesterday, and that, you know, because I do hear from some fans that you guys say you want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl and that's the bar you set for the Vikings. Why don't you hold all the teams to that same standard? And I think with the Wolves, there's a little more leeway in like giving them room to climb here. It's like I said to Kyle, it's like you got one kid who's like valedictorian of their high school class and they just like continue to bomb their college courses. Like, why? Your expectations, like your potential through high school was great. And why can't you follow up with the next step? The Wolves are like flunking out of seventh grade, eighth grade. Like they're 29 years old and still trying to graduate high school. So I do have a lower bar for the Wolves. I think it's ridiculous to say that if they don't make the NBA Finals, a franchise that has two playoff series wins, both in the same year, by the way, in the history of the franchise, that's the bar. To me, I would be happy if they won a playoff series and fought in the second round and showed signs of building something. But where are you guys at? What bar do they have to clear for you to say, okay, that was a good season for the Wolves?
I think I'd love to see them reach the Western Conference Finals. But I think if you clear the bar of, and look, it depends on who you play as well. And the other thing about football that's different from hockey, basketball, and baseball to a large degree is you don't play series in football. So like you go into one game. And there should and that makes it a lot more of a crapshoot when you're playing an NBA, you're playing potentially best four of seven series. And so that depends on who you play, what your health is, how the series ebbs and flows. I think if the Wolves get bounced in the first round, I do think it's going to be disappointing. So I guess I would agree with you, Phil. I think if you go to the second round and actually are very competitive. So again, I'm going to say this. It depends on, in my opinion, the eye test. Because if you go the second round and get bounced in four games, it's not going to feel great. But if you go seven games or six games and it's a really hard fought series, I'd be hard pressed to think a lot of Wolves fans are going to be disappointed and say this season was a bust. I think the finals is, yeah, that's a tough one.
I mean, the bar is a playoff series, but I will say an obtainable goal for this team is to be in the Western Conference Finals. Mm-hmm. And I know it's crazy to say that because the Wolves have never been there. And this is really the first.
No, they have. Yeah, 03,
04. Once with against the Lakers, yeah. But they haven't been there in 20 years. And they haven't won a playoff series, right? Also, since they've been to the Western Conference Finals, they've won some playoff games. But the way they've started and the optimism that they've built, and the West is starting to kind of now figure some things out. But the path to getting to the Western Conference Finals is obtainable for this Timberwolves team.
It's right now, I would say, I know they have the best record in the West, and we're kind of catching them at their lowest point of the season here, the Wolves, while maybe catching Oklahoma City at one of their peak moments. Denver's kind of coming around. They've won 8 of 10. The Clippers have won 8 of 10. I would say right now, I think the Nuggets and the Thunder are definitely better than the Wolves. On any given night, I'm like it could go either way, and it has. The Wolves have beat both those teams at home. But I would say as this sort of plays out, until the Wolves add another body, some more offense, get something from a player that hasn't contributed yet, like a Shake Milton or somebody, I would say the Wolves are probably the third best team in the West, and they have to watch out when the Pelicans are fully healthy. They might be better than the Wolves. So the record doesn't tell the whole story, but they have graduated from like a play-in team to definitively being one of the six best teams in the Western Conference. But keep an eye on the Suns, keep an eye on a fully healthy Pelicans team, the Clippers with a bunch of future Hall of Famers, you know, it's, and even like the Lakers are sitting down there. They have LeBron James and Anthony Davis. So that team's going to be competitive.
You know what, though? As we discussed on the Scoops with Dukes, I actually think that this slump is a good thing for them. I think this slump is a good thing. When you play 82 games, you're not, it's, you know, you can go through a football season where you win 13 or 14 games and really don't have a slump, right? Because again, it's all one game and it's only a 17 game season. But like in basketball, you need to go because there have to be corrections. Mm-hmm. And now it's one that now where the Wolves drove you absolutely up the wall a year ago was they bombed out against terrible teams. That's a different story.
Yep.
But they're in the midst of a very tough stretch. There are some things that Chris Finch has pointed out, including on defense, where they are not playing up to expectation. But that's a great thing because it's correctable now, and you can actually go back and look and fix that. I am not a fan of nothing goes wrong. So as a guy who panics, I actually think this is a really good timing. You're losing to good teams, but you're also seeing what you're not doing right. And it's a great reminder of getting back to what got you to a point of being so hot before this.
And to your point too, so about the below 500 teams, like we're sitting here and we're kind of like, oh man, they're going through this rough patch. Well, we all predicted this 3 weeks ago when they started again. It was 16 games against playoff teams.
Correct.
And they're like 7-5 right now in the first 12. And they got four consecutive road games starting tonight, I believe. So they're, you said it kind of, if they can just kind of play 500, slightly above 500 basketball over those 16 games, that'd be a big win. And then you come out, now you start playing the Portlands and the Washingtons and the Pistons, and don't trip up against a 3-win Pistons team or a Portland team that's bad. But last year, this team was below 500 against below 500 teams. They were the only Western Conference playoff or play-in team that wasn't above 500 by a lot. So how about this? The Wolves were 17-18 last year against below 500 teams. The next worst record among playoff and play-in teams was 22-12, the Lakers, against those teams. So they literally had they were six games back of the next worst teams against below 500 teams. This year so far, they're 11-2 against below 500 teams.
Yeah.
Take care of business, beat the brakes off bad teams, fight against the good teams. You're not winning 60, 65 games. You know, I know they came out hot. But yeah, we'll see. Now, get back in 3 weeks. If they start losing some of those games against bad teams, we can have a different conversation.
But it's a two-game skid.
Yes. How about that? This is the first time they've lost two in a row since, if you go back to the regular season, since March. This franchise, and they lose back-to-back games, and everyone's like, oh man, how far have we come? But it took back-to-back losses to trigger people.
Yeah.
Evan Yinkst says, here's a fun idea now that the Viking season's almost over. You guys probably have the viewership to make it happen on YouTube. A skull chant for Naz Reid, but instead of saying skull, we chant Naz as we clap our hands. Every time he enters the game at Target Center and makes a big play, we could get the Naz chant going.
It's nuts. Like, at the Pelicans game, the loudest ovation is for Naz Reid, and it's not close. Like, I don't know who the second closest ovation is. It is insane, dude. And even when he checks in the second time, it's still a huge eruption of cheers every time he comes into the game.
I like this idea. We need someone with a drum, though. Can we get Crunch a drum?
Yeah, you need Naz Reid. I mean, Naz. Crunch has that drum. He does have the drum.
Yeah, that's right. He does have the drum.
Just Naz.
Well, there we go. Boom, boom.
Naz. It'll happen. Might want to write this down.
It would work.
Okay.
It would work.
Tyler Gould has a really fun question that we're going to throw out here. After we shout out our friends, it's January. It's time to get in the best shape of your life, and Livia Judd is here to help you do just that.
Yep. In fact, they helped me a couple of years ago drop 40 pounds. Livia Weight Control Centers, it not only works, but they're going to help you keep the weight off. So if you're thinking to yourself, you know what, 2023 was rough. I want to get in shape. I want to look good, feel good, get all my clothes to fit for 2024. Then I'm going to direct you to a place that right now has an offer that you're absolutely going to love. How about this? Livia offering the first 3 months for free. That's right, free. They also now have, they now also have breakthrough weight loss medication options as well. And again, 3 months for free. And here's the best part about this whole thing. If you are a Wolves fan in, I don't know, let's say Florida, Tennessee, New York, guess what? You can also take part in this because the whole program can be done if you need be virtually as well. Just go to Livea, Livia.com, 855, go Livea, Livia.com, where your weight loss journey starts and you start to feel good about yourself in 2024.
Also, while we start to feel good about ourselves, how about feeling good about your home and the cleanliness of it? That's where Zero Res comes in to help you breathe a little bit more fresh air in your home. Clean those carpets, deep clean that house, the air ducts. So if you call Zero Res today or go to ZeroResMinnesota.com, you can ask for the Scornorth Special, which is 3 rooms Zero Resified starting at just $119. And this month, you can also take $75 off when you get your air ducts Zero Res clean. That's 952-0-RES or ZeroResMinnesota.com. Say you want the Scornorth Special and spell it forward or backwards. It spells the same, Zero Res. So this is great. Tyler Gould says, I'd love for you guys to build a starting five and bench players of players the Wolves drafted. So building out a full 15-man roster. But we're not talking about like a trade they made on draft day. It's the player that they drafted on draft day. So like Ray Allen instead of Stephon Marbury, for instance.
Walker Kessler.
Walker Kessler, I guess, yes, would be.
They did draft him officially, right?
I think so. Or was that part of a trade too?
Well, that was part of
trade. Let's look
the Gobert trade, but I think they have to make the pick.
No, I know, but I think, let me just look this up real quick.
They drafted Kessler. He was here. He was at the press conference.
Remember? Yeah, that's right. He wore the hat.
Yep.
Right. But what I'm saying, hold on a second. You guys are probably right, but they did not officially draft Kessler. So somebody, it was like part of a trade. This is where it gets weird. Like, for instance, they drafted Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah.
Or what was the year? No, they drafted Cam Johnson 1 year with the Suns pick, and the Suns made the Jared Culver pick for the Wolves. That was a trade. The Wolves moved up to get Culver. So technically the Wolves drafted Cameron Johnson that year. And then the trade happens after the draft, right?
Yeah.
So like OJ Mayo Kevin Love thing, right? Because it wasn't that the same thing. The Wolves made the OJ Mayo pick, but the Wolves got Kevin Love.
Yes. So that's a great example. I'm trying to find that draft. So like, in 2008, the Wolves did not draft Kevin Love. The Wolves drafted OJ Mayo. And then they traded after because those trades can't happen until after the draft is over. That's the creative twist on this. And so I have put together a list of all of those potential players. I've done this exercise for you guys with the starting five and the 10 bench players, and I want to run this by you.
Okay.
Okay. So let's start with the starting five. I'm going big. I'm going Kevin Garnett. I'm going 3 7-footers in my starting five.
Okay.
Kevin Garnett, Karl-Anthony Towns, And the Wolves also drafted before the Jimmy, this was the Jimmy Butler trade. They drafted this player on behalf of, I think it was the Jimmy Butler trade. They drafted Lauri Markkanen.
Yep. For the Bulls.
Back in 2017. And then, yeah, he went to Chicago as part of that trade. So give me Kevin Garnett, tenacious defender, 7-footer, offensive powerhouse too. And then two of the best 7-foot shooters in the history of the NBA in Karl-Anthony Towns and Lauri Markkanen. Defense optional for those guys. And then I'm going Anthony Edwards and Ricky Rubio in my backcourt.
Okay.
And you'll see kind of why. Because I want, like, Rubio doesn't need to shoot, but all these other guys need shots. So I give me Rubio, like, orchestrating, getting open threes for Markkanen, for Towns, for Ant, setting up Kevin Garnett in the post.
True point guard.
Yep. Okay. Okay. I'll go through the bench, and you can fight me on some of this if you want to.
Okay.
Brandon Roy. Before the knee injuries, obviously. So they drafted Brandon Roy, flipped him for Randy Foy. So the draft pick is Brandon Roy.
Okay.
Ray Allen coming off my bench. I thought about doing like a Ray Allen, Anthony Edwards backcourt. But then it's like, I don't know if that, I think Ray Allen is like your spark off the bench, like a scoring sixth man or something.
Sure.
Wally Szczerbiak, Christian Laettner, and Rasho Nesterovic is my second unit. So Brandon Roy, Ray Allen, Wally Szczerbiak, Christian Laettner, Rasho.
Okay.
And then my other five bench players, Nikola Pekovic, Zach LaVine, Pooh Richardson for another point guard. He's might be my third point guard.
Pooh.
Danielle Marshall, who the Wolves drafted fourth overall. And then they traded him, I think, to was a Golden State for Tom Gugliotta.
Yeah, he was not. He was a big time disappointment for them.
But he was like a good role player going forward. He played like 15 years
as a
in the
player,
NBA.
Yeah, the Wolves just didn't. The Wolves thought he was really good, and they got one look at him and said, hey, he's not as good as we thought.
Yeah. And then Doug West. Give me kind of a just a jack of all trades. He can score. He can play all defense. Dougie West. With the honorable mentions being Cam Johnson, Ty Lawson, Wayne Ellington, Luke Longley, and J.R. Ryder not quite making.
Yeah, I'm glad J.R. Ryder didn't make it. He would cause some locker room problems probably still to this day.
Yeah. So, yeah, because we can't use Kevin Love because technically, they like Declan said, they drafted O.J. Mayo and not Kevin Love. So
that's a pretty good look. That's I was going to say the only one I might beef with, but you're right. He turned into a decent role player is Marshall. But beyond that, I do like the facilitator of Rubio, because I think if you started Ray Allen, there's too many guys trying to jack up shots. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like five guys. It just, I don't know who. Does Cagey just not play offense then? Does Markkanen sit in the corner? I don't know.
Did you debate at all? And this would be a bit of recency bias, I guess, with Ant. But did you debate at all flipping Ant and Ray Allen?
And Ray Allen? Well, big time, yeah. But here's the crazy thing. I think Anthony Edwards is actually the better overall scorer. Ray Allen is one of the greatest shooters of all time.
Right.
But Anthony Edwards this season is on pace to top any of Ray Allen's top scoring seasons in terms of points per game.
Yep.
So that's a good one, though, because then you'd have KG, Towns, Markkanen, Ray Allen. I also think Edwards, a little bit bigger frame, better defender when both those guys lock in and give me Anthony Edwards as a
defender.
That's
my only debate, as far as guys that are starting and on the bench. I think that's the only one that I would actually be a difficult decision, right?
Yeah. It's tough because, Ray Allen is coming off the bench, you know? Like, he's a Hall of Famer.
Think about all the great Wolves teams. I mean, it's hard. It's hard when you got all those banners in Target Center.
Well, dude, this second unit, think about this. If this was, a real thing and you had all these guys coming in their prime form, Brandon Roy, before the knee injuries, was one of the best players in the NBA. Ray Allen, Wally Szczerbiak, dead-eye shooter, right? Mm-hmm. Christian Laettner is a little wonky. He kind of ruins the chemistry on this thing.
Yeah.
Well, Rasho Nesterovic has a good sort of shot blocking, rebounding big man. Throw him in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nikola Pekovic. Hey, need a bucket down low. Dump it into Nikola Pekovic. So,
we're assuming that you have a healthy Peck on the team as well in Pekovic. So when he was healthy, he was pretty good.
Yeah. I think that's the assumption is that you would get the healthy version of these players. Kiris, hit us up in the YouTube comment section or hit us up on Twitter. what would your starting five? So this is, go to Basketball Reference. You can go to like, just Google like Timberwolves draft reference and see. Now I'm curious about the Walker Kessler. What was that series?
It was a Memphis. I just Googled it. It was a Memphis deal.
Okay.
So I think Memphis took him, flipped him to the Wolves, who flipped him to Utah. It's very confusing. I've forgotten all about that.
The NBA draft is.
But the fact that you left Felton Spencer off this list, I find highly offensive.
So would you bump? Would you bump Rasho for Felton?
No.
As your big rebounding seven footer?
No. I was joking. And Longley,
was he the first draft pick in Wolves history?
No.
Felton Spencer. Pooh was? Okay.
Pooh was first draft pick in Wolves. I think the first draft was, I forget the rounds at the time, but I think the first pick was Pooh. I want to say the second pick might have been Gary Leonard, a center from Missouri, who had just played here in the regional at the Metrodome.
Yeah, he was a second round pick. And then Doug West was their third ever draft pick, second round out of Villanova. So, and then it was Felton Spencer and Gerald Glass in 1990 were their two first round picks.
Yeah,
man, this franchise and first round picks, like Luke Longley was fine, but he was kind of along for the ride on those. Like the Bulls just had a bunch of random big guys. It could have been anyone.
They spun him to the Bulls for Stacey King, right?
Yeah, that worked well. Really well.
Stacey King. I actually did a story on Stacey for the Wolves program back in the day. I used to do game program stories for Good Tickets. It was actually a pretty good trade.
Wait, so you would get paid, players. You would just get good tickets?
I would just get good tickets. But then I would go see like Sean Kemp and the Sonics, which was great. Oh, AI.
Let's go.
Because the 90s, the basketball was not as pretty, but there was, clearly some fantastic star power back then too.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, there's also a dark era here where they leave the first round picks open that the Wolves would have had. So like 2001, they had to abandon their pick in 2001 to 2004. Yeah, the Joe Smith under the table deal.
Yep.
Hilarious, man. Yeah, hit us up in the YouTube comment section. Click back the like button and the subscribe button if there's anything here that you would add or change. Mario Chalmers, who they drafted Mario Chalmers, who was a starting point guard on a championship Heat team, but he didn't quite make the cut for me. So, all right, there's Flagrant House, your favorite Timberwolves lifestyle podcast. We'll see you guys next week.